Welcome to another show of Kicking Back with Gil McAdam. Well, tonight we've got former Port Power. Well, he was like a tagger. He was, sets it up from the back pocket. But now he's out Hawthorn and he's starring in the Hawthorn Football Club. I'm very happy to say we've got Jarman Impey on the show tonight. Jarman, good to see you, brother.
Thanks for having me, Uncle. It's an absolute pleasure. So I'm looking forward to having a bit of a yarn.
And also we got my old mate, the old AFL guru. I know, Tyrone, I know. But, brother, good to see you again.
Good to see you, Gil. Every time I sit there, I think, oh, he's definitely forgotten about my nickname, but you always remember. You never forget. What a guest we got for tonight, though. Should be good.
Now, Jarman, 2024 Hawthorn Football Club. How do you think you feel the club's going and, yeah, where you're at, you reckon?
Look, we're a young side, a building side, so we probably haven't had the best start to the season. But, very happy at Hawthorn. And recently we've been playing some really good football. So we've got a real bright future ahead of us. And hopefully we can get a few more wins on the board. But, yeah, slow start and we're building. So it's very exciting.
I want to ask you about the coach, and Sam Mitchell, and how you going and how not only you, but the players and how they're adapting to his style of football.
Yeah, look, he's a very smart individual, man. He hasn't been out of the AFL system for that long in playing. So I think he's 13, 14 years older than myself. So he just
That's amazing.
It is amazing. And he just gets it. So you can talk to him just like he was a player. And he understands what the game demands and all the responsibilities in the game, right? So he's been awesome. And he's just very intelligent. And the way he plays, when he played, he was just very tough and he was very demanding and he was very competitive, and he has that in his coaching.
Well, you mentioned that you're only 13 or so years apart, so you must almost share the same hobbies.
Yeah, we do. So play against him as well. So no, he's been awesome, man.
Wow.
And you mentioned that you want to talk about the future, but I actually want to talk about the past a little bit, because at some point this season you had an absolutely heartbreaking loss there to Port. What was that experience like?
Yeah, against the old mob in Port Adelaide, we had a good lead, and they come back, the quality side at their home deck. They come back and they just got us by a point, a bit of a miracle. but yeah, the boys come back, and you know, credit to them. But there was some really good football played for the Hawks, and I think we're up by probably, I shouldn't mention this, but 41 points. So we probably should have hung on and won that one. But yeah, some exciting things are coming out of it. But I think we've learnt a lot from that last 20 minutes or that last, 5 minutes, especially when they won by that 1 point. So a lot that we learnt, and hopefully in the future that never happens.
Hey, brother, the Sir Douglas Nicholls round, that's always a round that a lot of the Indigenous boys look at the calendar and they always say, right, I'd better be fit to play that game. Now, this year, what a moment for the Hawthorn Football Club, but more importantly, for Jarman Impey. Now, the coach obviously went out of the way. I've never seen this happen any time at any other club. He's appointed you as the captain of the football club. That just made me so proud as a past player at how far we've come with Indigenous round, brother. Congratulations on that, and wow, what a moment.
Yeah, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure and an honour, but going back on Sir Doug Nicholls round, all the brothers, they always write it in when we're playing, want to be fit. So we love the round, obviously, about celebrating us as Aboriginals and about our culture. But I like seeing the different Guernseys that come up every year as well. Like, who's got the best Guernsey, who's this? And I personally think Sydney Swans is pretty cool. But, Chance Bateman, he designed our Indigenous Guernsey, so we're absolutely rapt to be able to wear that. And, appointed captain, which is amazing, the way that they did it in the team room and got me at the front and telling me why they like to play alongside me. So they got me up the front. And then, Sicily said, look, mate, we want you to captain this next 2 weeks. So, yeah, very proud moment, very special moment, and I'm sure it's something that I'll look back on in the future.
Do you think it was something that was driven by the coaching staff, or do you reckon the players actually drove that?
Well, yeah, I asked a few questions and obviously coaches, but I think it was more of the players. Mm. Our leadership group, the Mortage Kuta group that we call ourselves, behind the scenes, they wanted to give me the responsibility and they trusted me to do so. So at the moment, I feel like nothing has changed, just the same old, my own same old self, you know, just leading by actions. And yeah, it's just been a really cool couple of weeks.
That's awesome. You just mentioned that word just before, Murich Kura.
Yes.
Now, that means leadership from the Indigenous angle, but
yes.
More importantly, that happens throughout the club every day. So yes. They've actually, I think Hawthorn must be the first club that's ever named an Indigenous name for a leadership group, and it's just not a leadership name.
Correct.
Can you tell us about that? Because also with the captain's run, you've called it...
Barijama.
Barijama.
Yeah, so...
Brother, can you share that with us, please?
Yeah, certainly. So it is quite special. The Hawthorn Football Club call their leadership group the Murich Kura. And, yeah, it's a leadership group, and that's the meaning.
That's the word definition
now. That's the definition of that now. So, and then for our captain's run, Barijama. So we call, instead of calling it captain's run, all the players calling it Barijama. Yeah, what are we doing, Barijama?
How good's that?
That's wicked.
How was the Murich Kura meeting? And so all these things like this, and even the facility at Waverley, they call it Bunjil Bagora. So all these things that they're doing at Hawthorn has been great. And every main session as well, we do a little acknowledgement to country. So each individual player will come out before the main meeting and just say, I'm a Yorta Yorta man and I'm from such and such, and give a bit of acknowledgement about that area. So the Hawks are doing a great job in that space. Very proud.
I did want to ask, because I am an Noongar, and I can't help but recognise the words Murich Kura from being from my area. Was that something that might have been driven by Sam Mitchell when he was at West Coast? Is it something that he brought back from West Coast?
Yeah, well, he thought it was a good idea from, them ways there. And then we had Tyler Brockman, who was a WA boy, and they got along really well. So, he went with Noongar language, and me being Yorta Yorta man, they went with Barijama for the captain's run. So different language groups all over this great nation. So it was quite cool.
Diversifying everyone's vocab, mate.
Yeah, exactly right. So it's been really special, and the boys have just jumped on board and loved it.
That's awesome.
Oh, brother, you talk about leadership. The way you talk, I'm just so impressed, because I've seen you go from this little young kid to the way you talk now.
Thank you.
Murich.
Yeah.
Brother.
talking
about Murich, what was your speech before the game? Now, obviously, you're a captain. You're getting out there. You're thinking, what am I going to say? How am I going to say it? Can you share that with us, please?
I think I was more nervous about the speech before anything else. But it was somewhere along the lines where, they do the big song, Tear Us Apart, and it was a bit funny. So I mentioned that, it's a hostile environment. Just embrace it. Lean on it, because it is very hostile, where they're doing Tear Us Apart and whatever else. And we leaned on that and we enjoyed it. And I just said, yeah, well, tear them apart or something like that. I won't go into too many details there, I got a good laugh out of the group, and we ran off and we had a cracking start. So hopefully that did work on the weekend.
Well, there's two ways a pre-game speech can go. You're either going to run through a brick wall or you're either relaxed enough because you've had a laugh that you can just flow through.
Yeah, so the boys enjoyed it. And I actually got some feedback from Sam Frost, and he said, you've done quite well. I loved it. So I've got to back it up again this week. So it'll be fun.
Ah, too deadly, brother. All right, let's strip it right back now to your early days, your background. I know you're from Echuca, Shepparton area, and as a kid, who'd you follow in footy? And before you got drafted, because you got drafted pick 21 in the 2000 National Draft, can you just reflect on that?
Yeah, so from Shepparton, I grew up barracking for the Tigers. Just wanted my opportunity to play AFL, didn't care where I went, WA, Queensland, wherever. I just wanted my opportunity, and that was at Port Adelaide. So I was very lucky to go over there, but very daunting as well, leaving family and whatever else. But I was, a Tigers supporter. Loved my time at Port Adelaide, and it's always daunting leaving family and whatever else. And when I did leave family, my old man had cancer, and he was fighting for his life. So it was very scary going over there, knowing that, I had a special family member in my dad, sick. So I just focused all my energy on trying to play AFL football, and I'm trying to earn the respect of my teammates and coaches.
It must have been hard balancing that with your father, because, your family is precious and you want to spend all that time. How did you go with being okay with moving away and still chasing your dream while supporting your dad?
Yeah, so I think from the age of 15, 16 was always a goal, right? And me and Dad used to train a fair bit, so it was always sort of our goal to try to get into the AFL. So Dad was diagnosed when I was about 15, 16, so I sort of, you know, travelling, you know, to Melbourne and to all these different games, I felt a bit of that, not pressure, but, you know, wanting to succeed and make family proud like we all do, right?
Yeah.
So it was very daunting going over to Adelaide and, you know, trying to put in a good pre-season and whatever else. So I'm happy that, Dad got to watch me play. I think it was 50 games, so it was quite cool.
Who looked after you when you go there? Did you stay with some with the family, or did you stay with some players? How did that all go about?
Yeah, so Brent Renouf, I stayed with him for a couple of weeks. He was amazing, and then the Mandelov family, which was great, who I stayed with, a host family, and then Paul Vandenberg and his family.
He's been great, Paul,
mate, he's been amazing, and I have so many family members over there and family friends that I've made, and they were just to help me so much. It was great.
Mm-hmm. Brother, one thing you were fortunate enough to at Port Power is two team state, two team town. The showdown. Now, you were lucky to be in a showdown. Tell us your experience with the showdown.
The showdown was amazing. It was that finals feeling. We absolutely loved it. Adelaide itself went off. It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Social media, in the news, whatever else. It was a big rivalry, and it was quite special. So my first year there, Adelaide Oval was just getting built, finishing up, right?
Yes,
so
yes.
The renovations of that. So it was quite dramatic that, you know, Port Adelaide and the Crows were coming together. So it was sort of that first showdown, and Port ended up winning, so which was quite cool. But, yeah, amazing, amazing stuff playing in the showdown.
And then you moved over to Port, and you actually were one of the best under-21 players at the club. You got the Gavin Wanganeen medal. What was that like? Did you sit there and you were like, you know, I might be onto a Hall of Fame sort of career?
Yeah, I was sitting back going, how good is this? No, certainly not. But for him to present me that medal, I was just absolutely rapt. We all know he's a great player and a great personality in the AFL. And, yeah, I was so proud to get that award.
Mm. Brother... Yes, when you were at Port Power, interesting, we were having a conversation before we come on air, and at the club at the time, there was a fellow called Amon and there was a fellow called Wingard. Now, you're at Hawthorn and you're playing with the same two. The 3 years all went to Port together. Now you're all at Hawthorn.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah, got him over, which is great. But, yeah, no, started my journey with Carl Amon. We got drafted together, which was quite special. We share that special bond, you know, getting drafted together. So we got to play a lot of games together at Port Adelaide. And then Chad Wingard as well. He was just amazing. A couple of All-Australians, the best and fairest, you name it. He was an absolute star. So I loved watching him go about his business. He won us a lot of games just off his own boot. But, yes, now at Hawthorn all together, which is quite surreal and quite special and very proud going into that work environment, having them two there. So I'm very lucky and very blessed.
It's like a local football club, mate. Once one black fella goes over, everyone goes with him.
Everyone's coming. So, no, enjoyed my time with them boys. And, we shared a lot of great memories.
But your journey with Carl actually goes beyond the draft, right?
Does.
You guys were through the Flying Boomerangs programs together with Narelle Long and Paulie Vandenberg and those sort of people.
Yeah, we did, brother. So under 15s, you know what it's like being 15, very scared, very nervous. And... shared a lot of great memories with Carlos and against each other in Big Country and, you know, TAC Cup, I don't know what it's called now, Academy. But anyways, yeah, shared a lot of memories with him and still playing together today.
Yeah, brother, you come back to Hawthorn.
Yes.
You know, you're playing in Melbourne, you know, a bit different to playing in Adelaide. You know, there's a lot of teams in the Melbourne competition. You get to play at the MCG a bit more, not so much the Adelaide Oval. How have you found the change, and are you enjoying the change?
I am enjoying the change. Very special playing at Adelaide Oval. You have to go over there if you haven't to watch Port Adelaide in their home games. They do an amazing job, but you can't beat the MCG.
I agree.
I love the MCG. I love the space that it provides. You know, trying to sneak out into the pockets or on the wings, you know, at the back. So, no, I love MCG. How can you not? It fits over 100,000 and so the presence of the place is just amazing. So I love running out on the MCG.
Now, you mentioned that you were traded to Hawthorn, correct?
Yes.
How did that trade come about? Was that something that you drove or was it something that the club drove?
Yeah, no, it was... I had a great time at Port Adelaide and owe them a lot the first 4 years of... you know, my career and had a great relationship with Kenny and all the boys. And it just came to a stage where I wanted to come back home to family and friends. So I mentioned my father and wanted to come back to my family once he passed. And Hawthorn was the place that I wanted to go. Clarko got wind of that and he was ringing me flat out, I want you over. And it was an easy decision because there was so many great players at Hawthorn and historically so many great players as well. And at the time, Cyril Rioli was there and Sean Burgoyne. So how could I not want to come over and play with them and so many other premiership players? So no, Hawthorn I landed at and very happy.
And the trade, I think, worked out for Hawthorn in the end. They got yourself and then with pick 67 ended up selecting Dylan Moore. So
yes.
Not a bad haul.
Yeah, very good. love playing with Maury, mate. He's a character and he's such a good player. So, yeah, I think we might have won that trade.
Won the trade.
You said you played under Clarko for those first couple of years. Yes. Now, obviously, you're under Sam.
Yes.
What's the difference between the two legends? What is the difference?
Yeah, I think, as I mentioned before, Sam just being fresh out of the system as a player so he can relate, you know. He cracks jokes and we educate him on...
So what, he's got a bit of millennium in him?
Yeah, he's got a bit of there. Like, when we say, oh, that's not true, where we say cap, that's cap. Now we got the coach saying that now, so he understands all the language. And
do you know what cap means?
Brother, I've got no idea what he's saying. What does cap mean? What's that?
It means if you're lying about something. Like, if you came to me and you said, oh, Tyrone, I just bought a new Lamborghini, and I went, that's cap.
So he understands. Oh. He has that relationship with the younger players, right? And he's just been so good. So, yeah, we get along so well and he just relates to all the younger players. And then in Clarko, he was just a genius. He had so much success and just the way that he would go about training. And you could see that he was thinking all night because he'll come into training with his hair all messed up and you can see that he's all tired and he's just been thinking.
He's like the professor.
He is like the professor. And we had a great relationship as well. So, there's some of the differences. Great coaches.
And you had three great coaches. You had Ken Inglie, Alistair Clarkson, Sam Mitchell. How did the Hawthorn coaching system differ to that of Port Adelaide?
Yeah, I think, so Kenny, it was his second year in coaching, I believe, and honestly, we just clicked as well. I've been very lucky with my coaches and just a young kid just trying to earn the respect of coaches and I just tried really hard and he's sort of that old school coach at the time where he just loved effort, I suppose, and we just clicked and had a great relationship as well. He was very straight and very down the line, but I heard that that's changed. He's very jovial and he likes to have a laugh.
I was going
to
ask you.
So I asked the boys, what's Kenny like? You know what I mean? And so he's very jovial and likes to have a laugh.
I was going to ask you, you mentioned that Ken's loosened up. I'll say, has Sam gotten a bit more grizzled as he gets a little bit older?
Yeah, possibly. I'll have to
get
back to you on that.
He will get there, believe me. He'll get there.
He'll get there, right. So I'll have to watch out for that. But I keep saying, I've had great coaches and great relationships with all.
Hey, brother, when you went to the club, look, I just want to bring it up. You don't have to go into much detail, but just give us a bit of an insight. The Hawthorn racism, you know, what's happened and... I'm more importantly wondering how Jarman Impey's dealing with it and Amon and Chad Wingard, because you are actually at the club, you're playing at the club. What's happened at the club is the past. For our future players and players that are currently playing, how did you deal with it? Because it's important to talk about it because you have to deal with it.
No, you do have to talk about it to embrace it and to move forward, right?
Exactly.
It was a hard one because, as I've mentioned, you know, we got all these language groups around the club. We've got great players, and to hear something like that was very devastating. So there was, I felt like a little bit of pressure as well, where
you got family members, you got
media going, what about Hawks? I'm like, at my time here, it's been absolutely amazing, right?
Because I'm going to say something, and I'm allowed to say this. A lot of non-Aboriginal people, they don't understand the pressure that you're getting from your family and the outer Indigenous people, because it can be negative comments, can't it, brother?
Yeah, it can. It can be very daunting as well, and you feel heavy shoulders where they're like, hey, what's going on here? What's been said? And you're trying to sort of shoo them off, and we're in a performing industry, right? So you need to perform on weekends. So it was tough times, but as I keep saying, the way that the club introduces language around, I absolutely love what they've been able to do. I haven't faulted them, not once. So what's in the past has been the past, and we're looking forward to the future. And I think Hawthorn has done a tremendous job of that. So, Yeah, we'll keep looking there.
Yeah, well, because I just want to touch on something that you said, Gil.
Yep.
Non-Indigenous people, you can kind of get to choose if you want to be an activist and a leader.
Exactly.
But I feel if you're an Indigenous
person... We can't.
If you have a platform like a Jarman or a Chad, you're almost forced from communities and
whether
family.
Whether we like it or not, correct. We're part of it.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Because we're Indigenous, and that's it. Simple.
Yeah. As simple as that.
And then if you don't, if you don't do it, then you're the not the betrayer, but they're like, why aren't you have this platform? Why aren't you saying anything?
Exactly.
Did you feel that sort of pressure?
Yeah, I did feel that pressure because obviously we don't stand for that, right?
Exactly.
We care for our mob. We care for Aboriginality and the human traits that we have, right? So you feel like you want to say something, but you're left in this awkward situation where you don't know exactly what happened either,
exactly.
Right?
Good point. Very good
and
point.
And so you're going, what's the information here? And then we're trying to get educated about it and what's actually happened. And we just sort of had to take a step back and let the professionals do it, with the AFL take control of it, take over, but you're still getting all these questions. You're like, from my understanding, mate, I can't put Hawthorn a foot wrong. They've been amazing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, unfortunate, but I'm sure it's getting resolved and we'll let the professionals deal with that.
Yeah, look, the only way you solve things is you've got to talk about it, get it off your chest, because I know, brother, through my experience with life, not just in football racism, but general racism, believe me.
Yeah,
hey, who's impressed you at Hawthorn with some of the youngsters? Like, CJ, I love him. He's one of my favourite players.
Yeah,
I just love the way he goes about it.
He's deadly.
Who's your favourite? who do you love at the Hawks?
Yeah, honestly, there's such a good big range of young players that are coming through that are very, very exciting. Connor McDonald is one. He's from Dandenong Way. He loves all the Indigenous boys, and he just really embraces that as well. There's Nick Watson. He's been an absolute star. Cam McKenzie. There's been Josh Weddle, Josh Ward. There's just been so many great players. We've got Ginnivan over.
Has he fitted in? He seems like he's cruising.
Yeah, he's... home away from home, he's loving it. He loves all the boys. You know, they've really embraced him and he's connected really easily. Yeah, he's been a star. He's been really, really good to deal with. So we've got so many players and I think the future is bright. Not I think, I know.
Well, so you're an interesting player because you're so young. I always like to say, Hawthorn played two quarters of football sometimes because you're so young, you have great phases and then you have a few drab moments where you kind of take your foot off the gas. What do you reckon the next step is for the young core?
Yeah, is that consistency. You need to be able to play consistent football. And like you said, it's no point playing two quarters or playing three, which we did against Port. So when you have a young group, it's about that consistency and building that week in, week out. And that builds trust as well. And that builds predictability, the way that we play, the way that we want to move the ball. And you can see that coming. It has been a slow start to the season, but you can see the trust and the predictability being built. And having that core group, bringing it all the way through this next few years, I think it's going to be very special.
There was a game I was watching when you were playing and Amon kicked the ball out from the goal square. Now,
that was against your old mob too.
Well brother, I could see it happening and because it was just like McAdam and Windmill, I could just see it happening. And you knew what he was thinking and he knew what you were thinking, but nobody else knew.
Yes.
You got the ball somewhere near the centre of the square, I reckon, and then I don't know if he's got a goal out of it, but...
We did.
That's a unique connection.
It is a unique connection. And like I said, I've known Carl since 15, played a lot of football with him. And we just gave a little eye contact, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And it just worked perfect. And, we end up scoring. Luke Bruce, he kicked it from the goal square pretty much. So, little play. So I don't want to give too many of them away, all right? You might have to, might tell St Kilda we don't want that.
Well, you got the inside info.
Well, I'm probably a bit late now, but yeah.
It helps that Carl's a wicked kick.
It does. He was just that left foot that he has is
that
just
kick
beautiful.
Went about 60 metre drop punt.
It did. So now very special talent and I love playing with Carl. We've got that special connection.
Well, you mentioned that you've played a lot of football. Did you reckon you had like a welcome to the AFL moment or a hardest matchup maybe?
Yeah, well, it would have been when I got drafted, practice match against the Crows, right? And it was Eddie Betts that I had to line up on. Yep. So here, I was excited getting drafted, you know, a month ago, and then I'm lining up, and Eddie Betts, like, we all love him, right? He's our idol. And I remember putting my arm across going, hey, this is Eddie Betts here. So he taught me a few lessons early on in my career, and we have a great relationship as well, and, taught me many of things, and very grateful to play against him.
You talk about the defence. I spoke about you getting the ball in the middle and running and setting the goal up. I've seen you get the ball out of the wing or the centre, and I'm thinking, and he's got the ball, and sometimes I think, Russ, have another bounce and have a shot from 55. I can see you doing it all the time. Sometimes he is so unselfish, he gives it off.
Yeah, no, thank you. I do like playing that team-orientated game.
Yes, you are very...
But yeah, maybe in the next few games, I'm gonna have to take a couple of bounces for you, brothers, and put one through the big sticks.
I was gonna say
take them on. That's what we used to do.
That's the Gilly McAdams style.
Yeah, that's what I have to do. All right. So I promise, if I get caught holding the ball, you know why. I'll try to do that for you, brother.
Jump on the post game interview, and they go, "Why did you take on so many tackles?" Oh, Gilly McAdam told
me
to.
Yeah, that's Gilly.
I become a coach, one of my favourite sayings was, "I don't care if you get holding the ball, take them on, because if you get caught, there's somebody there to give the handball to."
Yeah, I'm not lying too. Sam Mitchell, who's just like, who's had holding the ball? No one puts a hand up. He's like, why not? So he really encourages us to take on
the
game
as well. That's how attack starts.
Well, that's exactly right. And we are attacking group, so we'll get better with that as well. But he does say, who's been holding the ball? Who's got one? But no one has. So he's just like, take them on even more, boys. So he's very good in that space.
COVID.
Yes.
You were around when COVID was about. Brother, how'd you find that? Because you weren't allowed to get out of your house, let alone get on a plane and go interstate.
Yeah, COVID in the hub was just, difficult. I was coming back from an ACL injury as well, and when they delayed the season, I was going, I'll be able to play a few games here. Mm. And I ended up playing a few games, but it was very different. I was just, it's a bit of a blur nearly, because for us, straight into lockdown, we went to Sydney and then Perth and then Adelaide, so it was all over the shop. It was quite surreal and quite different, especially playing with no crowd. Very bizarre.
I was going to ask you about that. What was that like? Did you almost feel like you're like, am I still playing in the pros? Or
exactly right. And it felt like you were at training or a practice match, you know, when you don't have much of a crowd. No atmosphere. And for a lot of us, especially the Indigenous fellas, we loved the atmosphere and we loved turning on for the crowd. So that was... very different. And even watching it on the screen the first couple of games, I'm like, where's the crowd? And then they had to put the crowd noises on. So, it was difficult times, and I'm glad that that's also in the past too, and we get to play at places like Adelaide Oval and the MCG in front of a big crowd.
Well, like you mentioned, it's in the past. Now, you're still under contract until 2026. Mm. What are the goals for Jarman Impey?
Yeah, the goals are to play, obviously, some good football, but from a team perspective... We're trying to play finals. We're trying to get to the grand final. We're trying to win a grand final. Mm. Not saying that who knows, that probably won't happen in the next 2 years, but it could. So the sky's our limit, and we just want to play some consistent football. I want to play some consistent football. I want to play finals in front of these big crowds and leave no stone unturned.
Tyrone mentioned goals before. You played nearly over 180-odd games now. You're almost close to 200 games. I reckon a good measure of an AFL footballer, and you played 200, you're right up there. So you're very close to being right up there. But more importantly, I see you playing a bit longer. You can get to 300.
See how we go. So hopefully if the injuries stay away, that's the most important thing. But, I would love to play as long as possible. Like we all would love. Loving my time at Hawthorn, loving playing off the halfback. I played a bit of forward stuff. It is hard being a forward, especially that small forward where there's a lot of pressure, contest. But I like playing off the halfback, so hopefully that will give me a few more years.
Well, you guys can correct me, but I feel like the small forward role, like the way your game goes is in the hands of other people. Whereas I feel like off the halfback, you can create your own play.
That's a very good point. That's exactly what happens, Tyrone, doesn't it?
No,
he's right.
No, you're dead right. And there's a lot of patterns that you have to run, knowing that you're not going to get the ball, but you have to run this pattern. You have to get up outside to the other end of the ground, to make these spaces. And then for halfback, you go, hey, brother, you're not getting the ball here. I'm coming back over here. So it is more enjoyable. And then for half forward, you're up the ground, you're back, you're front of contest, you're putting on pressure. And sometimes you've got to make your opportunities count. You have, 10 to 12 touches and maybe kick a goal or two. So it's a hard game, and hats off to Luke Bruce, who's been able to do that for us for a long time. He's played, he's kicked over 500 goals for a small forward, and hopefully he might be able to get to 300 games himself.
Now, we talked a little bit about grand finals. I don't want to put any pressure on you. Do you reckon we can get a Hawthorn Grand Final in the next, what do you reckon, Gil, 5 years, 6 years?
Well, I'd look at it this way first. I'd say to get, I don't say Grand Final. You just say get to the finals.
Get to the finals.
Yeah. And it, we're there, we're Hawthorn are out, they got to look at the eight.
Yes.
And then
yes.
Once they get to the eight, then they've got to say to themselves, now we've got to get to the four. And then once you get to the four, then you can say the grand final.
Yes. Yeah. No, you're dead right. And that's the goal, is to play finals and then you can go from there, because sometimes you never know when you're playing finals. It might just all click for you. The next minute you're playing in a prelim and then next minute you're in the grand final. So you're dead right. The goal is to play finals. I think we're the only club since the 60s to win a premiership every decade. So we haven't done that this decade.
Wow.
So there's a bit of pressure on us to get one within the next...
What did I say, 6 years?
Yeah, 5, 6 years.
2030.
So, since the 60s.
That's possible.
Yeah, look, it is possible. Sky's the limit. So we'll see how we go.
The most talented teammate at Port Power and the most talented teammate at Hawthorn.
Look, there has been some great teammates that I've played with. Chad in both, but Robbie Gray.
Robbie Gray.
Mate, I honestly feel like if he was part of a Melbourne club, he'd be up there with the Bontempellis and the Dustins. Like, he was that good. I just seen him absolutely destroy games, destroy training, where we had to kick him off the track because he was just wrecking all our training drills. Wow. So he was just a special talent. You watch some of his highlights. He's won multiple games off his own boot, especially late with, 10 seconds to go. That was that St Kilda one too, Uncle, where Paddy Wrighty hit over the back.
That's it. Oh. Yeah.
And then he's won...
That was freakish.
Yeah, it's freakish. So he was probably, one of the all-times. And then at Hawthorn, there's been so many. You've got Burgoyne, you've got Cyril, you've got Roughhead, you've got Bruce. There's just so many. Maybe Burgoyne for Hawthorn.
Shawnee's a good pick. Yeah. Now,
a safe fight. He's good. He's done it all, hasn't he?
Yeah, you can't go wrong. No one's going to come for you.
Yeah, exactly.
But we talked about the move from Adelaide to Melbourne. Yep. And then you mentioned as well that as... But what I'm trying to ask you is, did the hype of Melbourne almost buy in a little? I know you wanted to come home, but when you got traded to Hawthorn, were you like, oh, my God, I get to go play for a Melbourne-based club now? Because you said Gray was in Melbourne, he would be there. And I always think that about some current players as well. I was like, if Oscar Allen was playing for, Collingwood, people would be calling him the best player in the league.
Spot on.
No, I couldn't agree with you more. I think, for me personally, it just happened the way it was meant to. Kid from Shepparton. I didn't really like coming to Melbourne a whole lot, the traffic, and it was just all too much for me. I was like, and the weather was very consistent weather back in Shep. So the transition to go to Adelaide...
Adelaide's like a small little city.
Exactly. Big country town, very similar to Shepparton. And then I love Melbourne now. So it's coming back to, a big club in Hawthorn, playing at the MCG. It was just something that I really wanted to do. And I've loved my time here in Melbourne, and I don't think I would want to... move anywhere else. So, loving Melbourne.
But you're going all right with the cold, though.
Going all right with the cold. You just have to put the jackets on and the beanies. Don't worry, when we're out there at training, I've got the full swimsuit on. I've got the skins, bottom, top, beanie, the you famous. Name it. So, yeah, exactly. So, keep very warm at Waverley.
Charmin, look, one of the things I love that the AFL are doing now is they've got a system where there's an Aboriginal liaison employed at every single club.
Yes.
And we were fortunate enough to have... Roger Hayden.
Yeah, Michael Johnson.
And Michael Johnson on the show the other day. And Michael Johnson is the liaison officer at the Dockers.
Yep.
And Roger's running the academy out there.
Yep.
It makes me so proud as a former player because we never had that.
Yeah.
How good is that? Jamie Bennell at your club, he's the Aboriginal liaison officer. Must be so good to have as much support as you can.
It is very important to have as much support as we can. So grateful that the AFL put that in place because we need it. We need it to relate to, Indigenous elders to go, hey, I'm dealing with this or I need this or whatever else, and they just get it, right? So I'm very proud of the AFL to put that in place. And we've got Jamie Bennell, and he's a character. He's absolutely amazing. We come to him for absolutely everything. He's done such a good job and, can't thank him enough, really. And Hawthorn have been doing a great job in picking them. So we've actually were a part of picking Jamie as well. So we had,
The Indigenous players picked him?
Yes.
That's great. That's great communication and feedback with your players.
Correct. So ultimately we got to deal with them, right? And it makes sense now, but usually the club in itself would go through
it without consulting.
Correct. So... obviously they played their part, a big part in that. Mm. But yeah, ultimately we picked them and we said, what do we like? What, you know, can we work with? Blah, 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 blah. So it was great to have Jamie and we absolutely love him.
Yeah, well, Jamie had experience as well because I think he came from the AFLPA.
He did.
So he was already collaborating with players.
Yes.
But another person who is a trailblazer in that space is actually Katrina Amon.
Yes.
Whom is Carl's mum, correct?
Yes. Yeah, so yes. She's at St Kilda.
She's St Kilda. How you going, Artie?
But his sister is at North Melbourne as
well. Oh, really?
So,
there you go.
So his sister's the liaison officer or just another role?
A liaison officer, I believe, at North Melbourne.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah, he's got family everywhere, which
they
is,
liaise
which is
everywhere.
Great to see. Yeah, the Amons, they go very well. They're doing great for the community, so great family.
Do you think the club has shifted to a more culturally safe space since bringing in a guy like Jamie Bennell?
Yeah, for sure, 100%. Yeah. And you know what it's like where sometimes you just can't relate to certain things and certain lifestyles, and to have someone where you can, hey, I need this or I'm struggling with this, to have the liaison officers has just been amazing for us. So I keep saying I'm very grateful for the AFL to put that in place and, we're absolutely loving it.
Well, because I imagine, like, we spoke about Tyler Brockman, right?
Yes.
He's a young guy, come from WA to Melbourne. It must be really intimidating.
It is.
Because I imagine you can't just go to someone like a Sam Mitchell or a president of the Hawthorn Football Club and go, I need this thing from you, please. So having
That's
the
exactly
mouthpiece
right.
must be really important.
No, it is very important. And usually what happens, the older Indigenous players do all that as well. They've sometimes got their own family and they've got their own problems, and you've got a little fella from WA or interstate going, hey, uncle, I need help with this. And you're like...
Yeah.
Do everything to help them, but sometimes that's extra...
extra pressure on you.
Exactly, as the players. So, no, loving the liaison officer stuff, it's been great.
Hey, brother, your pathway as a junior, now, obviously you played in Echuca. Did you come through in Echuca under-14s, under-16s, and then you went into the TAC Cup? How was your progression?
Yeah, so in Shepparton there, I played for my primary school, and then from there, my high school. Okay. And then a local club in the GVFL, right? And then from there, I was lucky enough, since about 15, 16, start making some rep sides. And that was like...
So you were getting looked at that age? Because that's young, that's young.
No. Pathways into the AFL probably started when I was about 15, 16. So 15 being the TAC Cup with the Murray Bush Rangers.
Yes.
And then 16, I think, Vic Country. So that's probably when it started to get probably serious that people start looking at you. There was under 16s Vic Country and obviously under 18s Vic Country as well, and then the TAC Cup under 18. So
did you play at the Vic Country versus Vic Metro and SA and NFL?
And
the Allies and all that?
Yeah. Played against them in 16s and under 18s, so that was quite special and very good for my development. And you got the flying boomerangs too that teach you a lot and just about the professionalism of an AFL athlete.
And that boomerangs was at the same time, before you actually got drafted, wasn't it?
Yeah. So that was, probably under 16s as well, 15s. I remember, we had Andrew McLeod as one of my coaches, which was quite cool. To get that, O'Loughlin there and Chris Johnson and the likes of these players, and then getting the train with the Indigenous All-Stars in Sydney I was under 15s, right? So there was the Goodsies, there was the Buddies, there was the Cyrils, like all that mob there, that was quite special.
Did you go on a trip to South Africa or one of them overseas trips?
Yeah, Tonga. Was our year, so South Africa would have been cool. But our year was quite special. Do you know how they did Goodsie did that dance?
Mm-hmm.
We taught him that. So
really?
That was that year.
Tell us what happened.
Yeah, so this program, we went to Sydney, and it was our war cry, right? Because we wanted to do a dance, especially going up against Tonga, where they would probably do the haka of some sort, right?
Yes.
Their war cry.
Yes.
And so we were taught this war cry, and then when the All-Stars come, we taught the boys, and then, Goodsie went and did that celebration and, went everywhere. So, there was quite a special connection there.
That must have been awesome.
So, you know what I love about that? Not just the senior or the elder teaching the youngster's teaching the elder.
Yeah, so it's quite cool.
Well, those camps are always special as well. Because I think the funniest part of those camps, Gilly, because I've been lucky enough to attend a few, is when the camp's over and then they go to all the coaches, they go, Paddy Ryder, can I get a photo with you?
Yeah, can I get an autograph now? Signing up all the shorts, so great memories. So pathway's been great and, lucky enough to get drafted at 18.
Because I wanted to talk about Gil, because your pathway would have been very different, right? Like, did you go through any of those sides? Did you just get to 17 and they're like, come play for us?
They sent me as a 12-year-old playing at a national championships in Adelaide, playing for NT. And when I was 14, they come to mum and dad and asked mum and dad if they could take me to Adelaide and put me through school and play footy. Yep. So that's how I come about it. Lucky my big brother Greg McAdam was out North Adelaide at the time, otherwise I probably wouldn't have made the move. Yeah. So that was the only connection that I really had. So I've just finished year nine. I've left mum and dad. I've gone straight to Adelaide. I'm staying with these people for 2 years just as a house boarder, going to school. Mate, that was hard. And I had no one to lean on. All I had to lean on was my brother Greg or my uncle Elliot McAdam, who was my dad's brother. That's all I had. So,
unbelievable.
Yeah, we had to do it really hard, brother, I'll tell you.
Yeah, because we spoke with Rog last week and they do look at kids at 10, 11, 12 now, but they get that support system through the academies right up until they're seniors, and the clubs are incentivised because the younger they get them, the earlier they can select them through NGA.
Oh, right. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Well, there you go.
So it's almost like three different areas of going through those pathway systems. Just so different.
And that's what I love about the AFL and how much they've improved, you know, with this liaison officers and people in certain roles. Brother, let's mention the great Paulie
Vandenberg,
who helped you a lot in Adelaide, because Paulie is living in Melbourne now.
Yeah.
He's one of the main blokes that have organised all this. What a wonderful man. What a wonderful job Paulie's done.
Yeah, thanks for bringing him up, because he has been amazing, amazing for my family and amazing for the culture side as well, connecting with culture, educating ourselves about culture as well. We did so much for the community and he done so much for the community, so it was easy. And I owe him a lot. He's done so much for me, for my career and for my family. So even for all the Indigenous players, non-Indigenous players, AFL, just with his community stuff, he's done such a good job starting out at Port and doing wonderful things now. So we owe him a lot.
Yeah, well, he actually was one of the first Indigenous liaison officers. So I spoke with Katrina Amon, and she said her whole model that she has was built off Paulie Vandenberg at Port Adelaide.
Wow.
So he was a very big...
So you reckon when Paulie came, he's used that model for every other club now?
Probably. Yeah, well, every club is based off the work that he did at Port Adelaide. Yep. And it's just all gone through, all throughout the league. We call him Big Push and P.
Is that right?
Because whenever he does an academy, he wears a hat and it's got a big P on his head.
He loves it.
He loves it.
Paulie, he's been great.
I keep talking about leadership. And, brother, you just got leadership written all over you. Captain at Port Adelaide, you talk about leadership. Who was your captain?
Yeah, we had Travis Boak. He was amazing.
Still playing today?
Still playing, over 350 games. We also had a special connection, you know. His old man passed as well, so we really relied on each other. He's been a great help for myself, but for the whole community at Port Adelaide over there. So, great captain. He was, and, he's still doing great leadership roles around the club and everywhere he goes.
I was going to ask you about Sicily, because I just love the way Sicily goes about it, and you know, he doesn't take any crap from anyone, and I just love that, because that's a bit old school, and I love that. He's got leadership all over him.
Yeah, he certainly does. Absolutely love playing with Sicily. We all love playing with Sicily. We've got a special connection as well. Just the way he goes about his football, he is sort of that old school of player. He doesn't take much stuff, but he just plays really tough, really attacking as well. And that's everything that we love in Sis. And he leads from the front. He's a very passionate player, so we can't fault the way that he's going about his business. And he has all my support, that's for sure.
Well, you've played under three amazing coaches. You've had Travis Boak as a captain, then you had some good captains at Hawthorn as well. Now you have been in a captain's role. Do you reckon those guys influenced your captainship?
Yeah, certainly. We had Roughhead there. He's been great. Jared, he actually sent me a message saying I'd love to walk out behind you before the game. So that was quite special. Just shows
the
character.
And that happened?
What's that, sorry? That he messaged me?
That he walked out with you?
No, he said, I wish I could walk out behind you. So that was very good to hear from Roughhead, and that just shows his character there. Had Ben Stratton, which was great. Ben McAvoy as well. Stratton was just, he was just a beast of a defender.
Very underrated.
Very underrated. So he was just great. The way that he came back with the fly, he was just so courageous, such a courageous individual. And Ben McAvoy, who we all love. So, and he was at the Saints too, I believe.
Well,
so
he shouldn't have left the Saints. I don't know why they let him go. But gee,
well, he went on to win another two premierships, didn't he? So they let him go and he won a couple of premierships late. So it was a good trade.
Well, Hawthorn have stolen a few Saints over the years. Look at Peter Everett, you know, Spider, and there's a few others in there anyway.
Oh, no. I've had some great leaders around me and great coaches. So I feel honestly very lucky, very blessed to have these individuals, and I'm sure they'll in, you know, my career for a reason. So hopefully one day late in September we can be on the G Grand Final day, and it was all worthwhile. But Ben McAvoy was such a great captain as well.
Oh, look, Jarman, you know, I could talk to you forever and ever, brother, and I'm sure there's more stories that you'd love to tell and I'd love to hear. Tyrone, always good to see you, my brother, and good luck for the remainder of the year for Jarman MP. You keep up the good work, brother. I just love your leadership for yourself and the club, even for our people. So thank you so much for coming on Kicking Back with Gil McAdam.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. Wishing you all the very best. I've always wanted to do something like this with yourselves. So thank you again, and hopefully I'd love to see you again in the future.